Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The ministry adventures of the gospel are continuing here in beautiful Mexico among these meek, humble, and precious people. Anybody who's been around Mexican people knows, as I do, that we can learn so much from their humility, and their reception of the gospel is, I can't even explain it, as many of you understand that. Today, there were so many reached, and even by way of miracle, I mean, one lady I couldn't find, as God would have it, the place I was looking for, and he timed everything. I even stopped at a little bodega, a small family-owned store, because I saw that they had eggs, and then I got some fresh vegetables and fruit, and everything down here is organic. And anyway, all of this stuff led up to the timing of me still searching for this location I was heading to, and down these tight streets. These cities in Mexico were built in the 1500s by the Spanish, and no doubt they're absolutely beautiful, but they're tight because back then the technology was horses and carriages. That was their mode of travel. So everything's kind of tight. So I am in my vehicle, got the windows rolled down, going real slow down this one street looking for the destination I was navigating to. And a lady, just a real distinguished lady in her 40s, you will see her picture on one of the Mexico mission updates here. And in fact, her name is actually Susanna, and she's smiling, and she held up the Jesus track when I asked her, would you like people in the United States that are Christians, and that's you, saints, by the way, to be lifting you in prayer? And she was overwhelmingly in agreement with that. And so I took a picture of her, and I don't tell these or ask anybody to hold up the Jesus track, but many of them do that, as you'll notice in the pictures, because they're so overwhelmed with joy to hear the gospel. I mean, this is a field day if you've ever seen one. And if you come down to Mexico and minister in any capacity, you're going to be spoiled real quick, because they want to hear the gospel. They love it, and they love you. And the whole chemistry of the conversation completely changes. Their whole countenance changes when they hear the gospel, whether or not that's right away as you begin speaking to them or somewhere after you are getting acquainted with them. But anyway, she was overjoyed. She was a lady that was clearly crying out to God for something in her life. I didn't get all the details, but that was obvious. First of all, the timing, the miracle of passing right by her vehicle, and it's tight. Again, she parked a vehicle and she's getting out of it, and right there she is by the passenger window, as you'll see in the picture. And I began ministering to her, and she just stopped and looked at me like I didn't know what was going on, but we can definitely deduce that was a divine appointment, to put it lightly. In fact, her face was in shock. It was obvious that she's crying out to God for something, and he answered her prayer by putting us together at that moment in time. So with the windows down and her being right by the passenger window, I simply, as the custom is, smiled and gave her a Jesus track and told her that Jesus died for our sins and that he was raised again for our justification. All of this I was speaking in Spanish. She stopped dead and looked at me, then looked back at the track again and looked back at me. She was dumbfounded, and still, I don't know exactly why, but apparently she was crying out to God for salvation or for something in her life, and obviously God wants that to be salvation ultimately. And here was the Lord answering that prayer, and tears began to flow down her eyes. This is the second person today, and I'll tell you about the other man, he's a brother in Christ, who was crying, touched by the Lord today, and within an hour or two period. So as she cried, it was like you can observe that she could almost not believe that somebody was ministering the gospel to her. And again, just before all that happened, I drove looking for another location. God had me buy some eggs and some other fruits and vegetables so that the timing was just perfect to be right there when this lady was getting out of her car. Think about how the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps, one step at a time, of a good man, or
or somebody who is saved by Christ. All of our goodness is from Him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh God, have Your way in our lives and lead us step by step in Jesus' name, God. We want to be in lockstep, as we say in the military, with You, Lord. And You said right here that You delight in our way, oh God, as You are leading us, as we cry out to You to increase and we decrease, and You begin to lead our each and every movement, thought, and step in Jesus' name. That's Psalm 37:23, saints. So may Jesus help us, the great shepherd. He said His sheep hear His voice, John 10, and they follow Him. He make us, you and I, more and more sensitive to His leadings in these lives that He's gave, and He saved us, made us new creatures, and we are His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. And remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So lots of ministry is flowing, and it's conducive down here. And I don't go out just trying to do ministry this way, but it's happening every day, every time I drive. You at a stop sign or intersection or whatever, and people are crossing and they're walking right next to your vehicle, and I smile at them and tell them, minister the gospel to them. Every one of them gladly, men and women, received the word and the track, and they all say, thank You so much. In fact, just a minute ago, as I was driving back to my place after a long day of blessings, this guy had a quart or something of beer, and obviously he's not saved and he's searching. And I just handed him a track and gave him the word. And he was like, thank You. Almost like, I needed that so bad. I'm searching. And we don't know what's going on in people's lives, but God's going to use you and I and all of His saints in this late last hour as He moves upon the hearts of men and women all over His globe. And we just need to start praying. Lord, prepare me. Remember that song? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. God's got to work in us before He can work through us. And our cry should be, Lord, You got to increase in me. You got to clean and clear and prepare and root out the things, Jeremiah 1:10, and make me a vessel unto honor, 2 Timothy 2:20-21. Don't you just love that verse? Let me read that to us here. And so we can be reminded of the Lord's desire to prepare and use us. The preparation precedes Him using us. Notice here, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In other words, He's given the picture of maybe a big, beautiful house, and boy, don't they have them down here. There's just so much rich flavor to everything down here. It's not all new and plastic. It's all rooted in the 1500 Spanish colonization of Mexico, and they just left behind so many blessings that it's just not even articulable. So when you walk into a big, beautiful house, this would kind of represent the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. You got like brass vessels. You got these beautiful paintings. You've got some things are made of wood and some are made of gold and silver. And obviously those that are made of gold or silver are more valuable. And this does not mean they're not in the house. We are the house of God. But how valuable are we to the Lord right now? Now we're loved by God incomparably. And yet at the same time, you and I can be made more and more vessels unto honor. And here's how it happens. If a man, verse 21, 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore purge himself from these, that is anything that's not glorifying God in your life, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, for Christ's use, and prepared unto every good work. How many of us want to be prepared unto every good work? Hallelujah. Don't you know, and don't we know and understand that God can continue to make us more and more meet or fit for the master's use, like a Swiss army knife, that he can use us because he's prepared us, and that's what we're reading here, in more and more ways as he prepares us. Isn't that a blessing? And so we cry out to God today in prayer that he would increase, we would decrease, and that he would also make us more and more a vessel unto honor. That kind of dovetails right on in, and we got a lot of good podcasts on this topic. In Jeremiah 1:10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So God has a process among nations and individuals as he is the potter and we are the clay, Isaiah 18, verse 6. But here in Jeremiah 10, we see the pattern of the Lord and how he works. He's unchanging. He roots out and he pulls down and he destroys and throws down the things that don't belong in our lives. And then he begins to build and to plant those things that do. Amen. What a blessing that is. So thank you, by the way, for your support. That makes everything possible here. In fact, there was a lady here before we get to our next brother in Christ who was touched today and he had tears flowing down his face. There was a lady. I was doing some more work and at a cafe drinking a cup of coffee, and this lady was asking for help, and you'll see her picture too. She was outside and I saw her, and because you gave, I was able to be a blessing to this lady. I just walked out there and I said in Spanish, "Ma'am, can I pay for you to have a good hot meal?" And looked like she hadn't had one in a while. And some coffee. I said, "Would you like some hot coffee?" She said, "Yes." And so she was invited to sit down at the table there next to her. She was informed that the waitress is going to come out in a moment and take care of you and take your order. You're going to get a blessing from the Lord and his body. And the word of our Lord was ministered to this precious lady. The waitresses went out there and they took care of her. And you made that possible, beloved. You did. We don't do this kind of stuff too extravagantly or indiscriminately, but the Lord often puts this on my heart to be a blessing to these people. And they get a hot meal like Jesus fed the multitude in the wilderness with bread and fishes that were multiplied. And then he gave them the gospel. And that's what we're able to do because you guys are giving. And it's going a long way to minister Christ to a lot of people. It's not just humanitarian aid, which none of us should support if it's not coupled with the sound and original gospel and the saving gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the Great Commission, not just building houses for people or feeding them, but giving them the most important thing, the eternal gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And most of all, I want to thank you all for praying for these people. So this lady, you'll see her picture. She's got a yellow shirt on. Again, you make that possible. And if somebody listening wants to say, "I want to help feed the poor. I want to help in this mission," because we're laborers together with God, saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It's a group effort. It's Team Jesus, as some kingdom saints call it. Doesn't matter if you're doing one, two, or of the three components of ministry in the Great Commission of Christ that he gave us. If you're praying, that's the most powerful thing. If you're the feet on the ground, if you're doing the actual labor, amen. And if you're giving, we all partake of the reward. That's what scripture teaches. 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, John 4, 36, etc. And so if you're listening and you want to say, "I want to give $20 a month so two people can get a hot meal and some coffee and water," or if you want to say, "I want to give $100, I'm just giving you some ideas here. We definitely can use it. It's going to go right into the gospel. In fact, we read in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. I love this verse. What a blessed opportunity, privilege, and promise from God. "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord." You took out of what God has put in your hand and you said, "Let me put this towards somebody who needs a hot meal to encourage them today as they hear the gospel of Christ and they're blessed with some food and coffee or whatever, water. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again?" God is going to multiply it back to you. That's what Paul taught to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. And he's going to increase the fruits of our righteousness as we lay up treasure in heaven by saying, "Lord, you gave me this and I want to extend it in my love and worship and obedience to you to be a blessing to somebody else." Jesus said it is more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You're never going to be happier than when you're giving. And we all know that. And may God increase that in us. Again, Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will God pay him again. What a blessing. Those who give are going to be taken care of in times of famine which are coming upon the earth. God promised that over and over. And before we get to Brother Vicente, it's like Vincent in English, and before we go there and finish with Brother Vicente, but remember, ministry calls for much opportunity to pray from the body of Christ. And that's why we post a sampling of the people that are being ministered to. We can't quite cover all of them, but your prayers for these people are the most powerful thing. And we are all a part of God's great commission work that Jesus gave us in his ministering and in his travels. The Apostle Paul said that Satan hindered us, quote unquote, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. But he also said that because the members of the body of Christ prayed for him, quote, listen to this, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, quote unquote, was poured out to the success of Christ's kingdom blessings and in his ministering. Philippians 1:19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation or deliverance and blessing through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ. Do you know that when you pray for those ministering and those who are being ministered to, the supply of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is poured out, and God blesses and removes all hindrances and brings his gospel blessing in that whole situation on those lives that he sent his only begotten son to die for and raised him again to justify. Romans 4:25. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:9. We, that's plural, are laborers together. There's a plural word again, with God. In fact, Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord, there it is, may have free course or flow freely and be glorified even as it is with you. In other words, your prayers for those ministering are going to cause God to make the gospel flow freely or unhindered into the hearts of the people Jesus came to die for. What a blessing. These are some real nuggets I want you to grab onto and get into the word and look at them. Maybe you can rewind, if you will, go back a little bit and get these. The verses are 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Philippians 1:19, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's talk about our final blessed brother. This is the brother in the Lord. And let me tell you, this was a flat out miracle that I even met Vicente. And I want you to pray for these people. Again, his name's Vicente, and you'll see his picture here too. Our Lord is moving, as I said earlier, all over this globe of his, in the hearts of men and women. And today, it's obvious that he was moving because I parked my car this morning as I went out early to work and got lost and got to my destination walking. But then when I was trying to find the vehicle, it was very difficult today. And right before I found the vehicle, having walked in circles to some degree in different directions looking for the vehicle and asking for help, I was looking across the street at a beautiful building, and I misstepped and almost tripped, and I heard a voice behind me, and he said, I think in Spanish, be careful, many people almost stumble on that little step down right there. And yeah, I wasn't looking where I was going, and that's in Mexico. Those who have been here know you can trip real quick because there's a lot of like cobblestones and hilly cities and streets and stuff. And as God would have it, I tripped a little bit, and Vicente said, be careful, a lot of people trip right there. And he smiled at me. So we began conversing. Again, the timing of this, that he would even be outside in front of his restaurant opening the gate or doing something and I would be passing by, was totally orchestrated by God, because I didn't know the way back to the vehicle. And so I was taking different streets and finally figured out which street to go down. And as I was going down that street, by the hand of God, it could have only been that the Lord gave this miracle, I ran right into this guy, Vincent. Vicente. And during our conversation, he said, God bless you to me. He's speaking Spanish. And I began to minister the word to him, not knowing if he was a Christian. And immediately he lit up and said he was saved, washed in the blood of Christ. And he was hearing the word and began to weep. You'll see the tears in his eyes. And that picture was taken several minutes after the conversation was over. But he began to weep and to rejoice. And we began to hug each other and stuff. And it was a real blessing. In fact, he's been texting me ever since. He owns a very nice restaurant. And so we exchanged numbers. And I'm going to go eat at his restaurant soon. And this is going to be a brother that we have fellowship with. In fact, I gave him a good stack and supply of the Jesus track, which he's excited to hand out. So we're looking forward to this being a great connection and friendship and fellowship with our eternal brother in Christ, Brother Vicente, which I want to ask you to pray for this dear brother. So we give God praise of these wonderful things that he is doing in your lives and in the lives of the beloved people down here in Mexico. In fact, we read of how in the book of Acts that the disciples rehearsed. So these things are biblical to talk about and to rejoice in what God is doing. Acts 11:4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, anyway, he rehearsed the things that God was doing. Acts 11:4. You can look up the word rehearsed in the King James Bible, do a search. Here's another one, Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church, the body of Christ, together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So it is biblical to rehearse and to rejoice over the things that our Lord is doing. One more example here. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord had sent out his 70. Remember that? Verse 17, it starts in verse 1, but then they came back. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Nothing so invigorating as when God's moving, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, he sent them forth to preach the gospel, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to do the work of the kingdom, which he empowers us to do. Verse 18, then he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, the greatest thing to rejoice in is the blood of Jesus and the fact that God found us and saved us into his eternal kingdom, and he wants to use us to help others to be saved and do his kingdom and not get caught up in his power that's moving through that ministry, but to rejoice mainly in the power of God to do the greatest miracle, and that's to find and save souls. But nevertheless, they did come back with joy, rejoicing and rehearsing the things of God and that which he was doing through them as they obeyed him and going out to do his work. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for the manifold grace of God that you've given to your saints, Lord, and that you're hearing the cries of your people to increase in them and them being blessed to be decreased so that you can reign and prepare us, Lord. We do pray with the song, Lord, that you would prepare us to be a sanctuary. Work deeper in us so that you can work more powerfully through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.